I don't know how we, it's a lot of coffee. We drink a lot of coffee to give us the energy. And you, if you are coffee drinkers and you've got your kiddos here, ours are in bed. We kind of, if you weren't on earlier, we do have four daughters. So Jed here is grossly outnumbered, but we have four daughters. They are 14, 12, 6, and 4 now. We just had some birthdays, so I had to think for a second.
Somebody told me a trick. Can I tell you the trick? They said, just do youngest and oldest. Just do, they're 4 to 14, and you're set.
See, I learn something every day. So, and at various times, you'll hear us reference other kids. We also do foster care off and on. So our number of children changes based on what's happening in a certain day. So we claim others when we are asked to. So that's kind of us in a nutshell. We are also here in Minnesota. Jed is from San Diego originally, and I somehow tricked him into moving back to my hometown in Alexandria, Minnesota, where we are currently in a polar vortex. So the temperatures this week have ranged anywhere from 0 to -40. So we are jealous of you this week, and really wishing that this was a live conference so that we could be there with you for more reasons than one.
So, guys, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight, and we really are excited to share with you. Mm-hmm. So just before we dive in, three ways to get the most out of this. One, we love that you have your cameras on. Don't feel like you have to, but even just beforehand, it was fun seeing kiddos running around. And one thing that we want to do, we value authenticity. You know, in doing a marriage seminar, we never want to just come off with the presentation of, hey, follow these three easy steps and your life will be just like ours. We know married life is messy, and we've had times where our kiddos have opened the door and yelled, I love you, daddy, and then slammed it shut right in the middle. And if that happens, we'll smile and that's cute and we keep going. And if they yell something worse, we're going to smile and keep going. And, you know, we really want to be here just authentic and real tonight, share what we're learning in our relationships, what we learned from the research, and then most of all, what we learned from God's word. And so really, we're going to take those three areas and combine them tonight. Mm-hmm. Second way to get the most out of this is to take notes. And we do have a note sheet for you. So with that Google Drive sheet, there are 6 different sheets in there. We tried to make this really easy. So there's one note sheet, and there's then one action sheet for each of the 5 steps. So we're going to look at 5 different stages of relationships tonight. But that whole theme of how to get your spark back or fan the flame if it's already there. So we're going to look at icy relationships. We're going to look at relationships that are, call it the elusive blue flame. As I didn't realize this, but that is what fire does. I guess when it gets as hot as it can go, it actually turns blue, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And every stage in between. And then I've got a friend who's a trainer who says this, really, when you take action, this is all about putting the tools to work, right? Mm-hmm. And he tells me this, he says, Jed, you don't want to try to do too much at once. Because if you focus on 2 things, your odds of success are 32%. If you focus on just one thing, it goes from 32% all the way up to 80% chance of success. And so tonight, as we're going through each of these areas, kind of our challenge for you is, what's going to be that one thing? What's going to be that one takeaway? Because if you try to do too much, it can feel overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it's going to lower the chance of actually doing it.
You know, we've been talking a little bit recently about, with the start of the new year, if you're anything like me, like you started that year with, I'm going to do X and Y and Z. And then what is it, 2 weeks later, about 50% of the population has already, there's actually a national holiday. My daughter has informed me of this year. There's like an unofficial holiday of the day that most people have given up on their resolutions. Mm-hmm. And we know that part of the reason for that is we tend to think about change as doing a whole bunch at the same time, right? I need to fix everything all at once. And so when we feel a disconnect in relationships, we'll do that. We'll try to fix everything all at once. And what we want here, you know, in this conference is really to kind of focus on what is that one thing that is just kind of where God is tugging at your heart and saying, this is that thing, this is that. And it might be a small thing, but we are really looking for those ripple effects in your life. One thing that I can do really well, where I have an 80% chance of success. And we really talk a lot about that Ephesians 3:20. Can you share a little?
Yeah. So Ephesians 3:20 talks about God being able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so really there's two parts. There's the action step that we can take. Mm-hmm. And then there's also knowing that, you know, God is able to do more than we can think or imagine. And it's really sense of bringing those two ideas together. I can't say the word, but bringing those two ideas together of, man, we are taking action really 100%. And then we're also trusting God 100% that all of this is in his hands. So, hey, here's what I would love to know. If you've got the chat, would you open it up? We'd love to know what brought you here, because we know couples are busy.
Yeah. Yep. The number one thing that we hear from couples that we work with when we ask about, like, what is one thing that kind of is a stumbling block or one thing that you wish you could fix or one thing that is a challenge for you. And by far the thing that we hear most is that we're busy, right? And so knowing that, we know that there's a reason why you show up for these things, right? That you carve out the time, that you invest in relationships, that you're here with us tonight. And so just kind of what brought you here? We know in the middle of a pandemic, sometimes that's interest in just connection, even if it's virtually, you know, any kind of connection with other couples. Are you looking to kind of get that spark back? Are you looking to fan the flame? Like, hey, we're really good. We're doing really awesome. We kind of are here to support other couples maybe, or to find out, you know, what can we do to make sure we kind of stay in this place of a really healthy and thriving relationship? To see where you're at.
Well, and this is where we really would love to hear from you. So write in the chat and right there, how to keep that flame burning.
and hear all about others' problems. I love that. Love it.
Absolutely. Here to learn more about good practices for us now that we've escaped the baby stages, youngsters in third grade. Yeah.
Yep. Very good.
That last one's got to be the best. The Simon told us to come. Love it.
Good job, Simon. Keep it strong and not be complacent. I think that is so key to not get complacent, right? We'll talk a lot about, you know, when things are going well and relationships are thriving and connecting. That can be one of the most dangerous times actually for relationships, because mm-hmm. we can get complacent in some of those intentional connection kind of habits that we might be building when we're attempting to reconnect. You know, we might get comfortable and complacent and let those things go. And we really want to build that bank for times when life lifes us.
Awesome.
Awesome. These are really good, guys.
Build humility in marriage. Not marriage. Not married yet. Don't want to mess up. How to communicate better. Learn something new. All of the above. We can always improve. Guys, these are fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. We love the interaction. Mm-hmm. So now that you've shared why you're here, we want to share a little bit of our heart and why we do this, because we know that relationships matter. We love diving into the research. And just as we were thinking about why are we doing this, you know, we've learned a lot about relationships and just how important they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so some of that is we know that having a good, stable, healthy marriage takes life's bright moments and makes them even brighter. Mm-hmm. We know there's physical health benefits, and that ranges from everything to strengthening your immune system, which means you'll be less susceptible to things like cold and the flu, and even less susceptible to heart attack. Mm-hmm. From a business perspective, it increases productivity.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one, because we were working with some business professionals. And so how do you create value for them? Well, sometimes that's talking numbers and productivity, right? And what we found in the research is there is actual measurable gains in productivity that when we are healthy and connected in our relationship, and of course our marriage relationship is the, you know, kind of that key relationship that they're looking at, but you can increase productivity.
Yeah, so if you have an unhappy relationship at home, mm-hmm. you're gonna be 10% less productive than the average employee. If you've got a happy relationship at home, you're gonna be 12% more productive than the average employee. And the interesting thing with these studies is, man, if you can go from unhappy at home to just that happy, connected, engaged relationship, you're actually doing a 22% productivity increase at work. You know, so that's very cool. We got excited when we saw that. And then my favorite study, which actually assigned a dollar amount to happiness. And, you know, kind of looking at it, just asking, man, how much is a happy relationship worth? Any guesses? Just put it in the chat. If you were to assign a monetary value to a happy relationship, what do you think it'd be? Priceless, lifetime value. Love these. Well, I'm not going to tell you just yet, but the numbers really did surprise me. But we were thinking about all of this, and you know, all of this was, it was nice. It was fascinating, but we said, you know, none of this is quite good enough. And so we're wrestling with, you know, I want something bigger than this, mm-hmm. something more than productivity, something more than happiness. You know, really, there's got to be a bigger reason for being here.
Yeah.
And the aha moment actually came this week when I woke up and saw this message from my friend who said, Jed, you've got to check this out. This is legit. Now, I have no idea what that means, but he's a good friend. And so I watched this video that he sent me, and it was a pastor who came out and showed a picture of a ministry that his family does in Africa. And he showed a picture of him and his wife walking with a little girl who is wearing almost nothing, maybe 2 years old, malnourished, just belly sticking out, tiniest arms. And it was just a heartbreaking picture. And he talked about starting this ministry there. And then a few years later, showed a picture of him and his wife with this girl who's now a little bit older, looking healthy, wearing a dress, big smile on her face. And he said, you know, the reason we could do this, one, God called us to this ministry. And two, we were united at home. Because we're united and in this together, we can fulfill the mission that God called us to do.
Yeah. And really, they use that phrase, the marriage in the light of eternity, right? And so you probably remember the quote better than I do, but the standing before God side by side, and really yeah. we were able to complete this mission that you called us to because we were united and having that as our focus and our end goal. And we really talked about, you know, our call has not been to Africa, but for us, that was getting a call. We are not actually, I told you we're foster parents. We weren't foster parents when we got our first foster placement. That was a very unexpected call one day saying we have two little girls and we need them to go somewhere. And they say, they know you, can you pick them up? and so when those calls, you know, maybe you get a call like that, maybe you get a call to Africa, maybe you get a call to start a family. You know, a lot of times our ministry is, gosh, we have these little people, guys, and we are raising them to go out in the world and do these amazing things. And so maybe our ministry and our calling is here at home and being united in the way that we are parenting and raising our children. But what is it that, you know, standing in the light of eternity and as a united, as we're a couple, you know, what, looking at that as our end goal.
And I love that, because we got the call and it was a literal call on the phone. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, you know, when I saw this Africa video, my first thought was, man, I want an Africa store. But you know, yeah. I don't know that when you and I've talked, that either of us have ever talked about going to Africa.
No.
But we've been talking for probably 4 or 5 years about, well, one day we want to do foster care. And we said, we're going to do it when our kids are graduated, when they're grown.
Yeah.
And God had a little bit different timing for it.
And often does.
Yeah. Right? But when that call came, because we were united and connected, I think that's why we're able to say yes.
Yeah.
And so when I think about why I'm so passionate about this and why I love this is because everybody's got that call. And it is the, man, one, what is God calling you to do? And then two, how much more powerful that's going to be when you and your loved one are united together. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, I'm curious, what is it that is your call? And you may know, may not, and that's okay. But if you've got something where you're like, I think God's calling us to do this, would you put it in the chat? Because we would love to know.
Or just think about that too. I mean, I don't think you always are in a place where you know yet what
it's
all. And that's an okay place to be, but just kind of being aware too that I'm building unity and I'm learning about connection. You know, maybe you're not in a relationship yet, but you're learning about how to build connection, how to build healthy relationship, how to build unity, so that someday when that call comes, you are ready to step into that mission field, whether it's in your own home or whether it's that literal call or whether you are headed to Africa, whatever that call is, you are ready.
Yeah. So let's dive in. So here is what we put together for the note sheets. And you can take notes on really any piece of paper, but we entitled this How to Get Your Spark Back. Looking at igniting friendship, love, and passion, regardless of how you feel right now. And what we know is there are different stages to relationships. And we love this theme of a relationship, you know, being icy cold to anywhere from red hot to blue hot. So the question is how do you get from where you are to where you want to go? And so we're going to look at each of the five stages. Mm-hmm. Share scripture, something that's going to offer hope for each stage, and one thing that you can do really to take your relationship to the next level. Does that sound good? Awesome. I see some nods. So let's start with icy. And looking at that sheet, it says icy. And temperature is negative 144 to 31 degrees. And that negative 144 is a real deal. That's
I told them it was a typo. It's not.
So that is the coldest recorded temperature ever on Earth. I guess it comes from a satellite picture in Antarctica. And, you know, just like there's different levels of coldness in Antarctica, you know, Minnesota, San Diego, there's different levels of coldness in relationships.
Yeah. And so whether you kind of have these relationships that can get into a period of time or kind of stuck maybe in a period where you might be feeling a little bit icy, right? And so this is a level of disconnect. And so whether you're at negative 144, this would be like really pain, right? This is a painful relationship. Like we said, we're in Minnesota and we're in the middle of a polar vortex. And sometimes I wonder why we live in a place where when I walk outside, my face hurts. Like within seconds of going outside, it hurts, right? And that is really kind of what we're thinking about with these icy relationships. That sometimes when we're experiencing disconnect in relationships, it is painful. And not just emotionally painful, but actually physically painful to your body. And so you might be in a place where, you know, in an unhealthy relationship or in a disconnected relationship where you feel that.
So I had a favorite college professor who would say this, say the loneliest people in America aren't the single adults. It's the married couples who fall asleep back to back each night, just silently wondering, oh God, when is the pain going to end? Disconnection hurts. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're so excited about this. One study that we dove into shows that there's a part of the brain called the anterior cingulate. It's a pain center of the brain. So stub your toe, the anterior cingulate lights up. what we've learned about relationships is being disconnected from someone that you want to be close to lights up that same pain area of the brain. And in counseling, when I present this idea to couples who are disconnected, you know, I don't get looks like, Jed, you're crazy. I get nods like, yes. And some will even say, Jed, if I had to choose between the two, if I had to choose between the physical pain or the pain, just that mental anguish of being disconnected, I would take the physical pain any day, because wanting to be close to somebody that I care about and love and just not being able to, that hurts.
Yeah. And so it really kind of builds on this idea too, that we are created, God uniquely designed us to be in connection with other people. And that was really designed on purpose, right? That God knows he wants us to be in relationship with him. And he wants us, you know, to be in relationship with our spouse. And he created our bodies in such a way that when we are experiencing disconnect, our body lights up with that pain in the same way as if we're feeling physical pain. And so we really dove into Genesis 2.
Yeah. So God said it first. And cool thing is the more we dive into the studies, just the more I would say we look at scripture and realize, oh, it's been in here all along. And so if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Genesis 2, really, we're looking at shortly after the story of creation, the story of Adam and Eve. Now I'm going to jump down verses pretty quickly, but here's what I think. When we talk about relationships, you know, they're not a nicety. They're not just an added bonus. They really are a necessity. We are hardwired to connect, and God designed us that way, and he knew this from the very beginning. And here's something fascinating that's really built into Genesis 2. You know, there's certain things we need to survive, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to have air, got to have water, have to have food. And I'm going to add to that, you need relationships. It's not that nicety. It is that necessity. So Genesis chapter 2, we're looking at God creating Adam, God creating Eve. And if we start in verse 6, it says this, but streams came up from the earth. So God knows about our physical needs, right? Got to have water. Skip down just a little bit to verse 7. And it says this, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Well, in verse 6, we've got water. Verse 7, we've got oxygen. You can go down just a little bit more. We're going to skip to verse 9. It says this, the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eyes and good for food. So now we've got this kind of natural progression of water, oxygen, food. Skip down a little bit more to verse 18. And the next verse is this. God says, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And just when we saw that, we thought, man, it's in there, it's built in there, that this is one of those survival needs where God's creating man says, I'm going to give him everything he needs. And that relationship, that community, that connection is one of those needs. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah. He designed us on purpose to be in connection with him. And to be in connection with people. And I think even in the context of today, like we can feel that a little bit, right? During this pandemic and a season of being disconnected physically from our friends and loved ones for periods of time, possibly, you know, that has been painful for a lot of people. And I think we also feel that a lot in our marriage relationships, that when we feel disconnect from the people that we love, it's a really painful experience.
Yeah. So what do you do if you are in that icy relationship? Well, first of all, if you're here and you're here with your spouse, you've got to turn to them and give them a huge high five, whether you're in an icy relationship or a good relationship. And here's why, because you're here and that's a win. Yeah. You're doing something to take your relationship to the next level. And that's huge. Not every couple does that. So I'm a marriage and family therapist and I like looking at the research. And one of the things that I know is not every couple comes to therapy. In fact, the research says this, you know, when relationships are hurting, only one out of four couples seek any professional help. And the average wait time for that is 6 years. That's 6 years of pain, 6 years of baggage before seeking that help. So if you're here today, like, that's huge. That's a win.
Yeah, it is huge. And it's such an investment in yourself and in your relationship. And it's huge. So truly, just kudos to you for taking that time and carving out the time and making this a priority. Whether you're in that place where you're needing to get the spark going again, or if you're in that place where you, like you said before, not getting complacent, that we are continuing to invest time to make sure that we continue on in a healthy relationship, in a red hot relationship, in a blue, we'll talk about that blue flame, right?
All right. So the key principle is you and I are God designed to connect. The win is we're celebrating you're here for growth. And then here's the action step. The action step is to pick one lovemate deposit. So again, we talked about how there's an 80% chance of success when you choose one thing to focus on. And if you're in that place where you're feeling a little bit icy, where there's just a little bit of pain, you know, the quick win is to find one lovemate deposit. And here's how this works. Everybody has almost just like a regular bank, an internal love tank, an internal love bank.
Yeah.
All right. And so here's my fun question for you. Get ready with the chat. Question is this: love bank works a lot like a real bank. You want to make regular deposits. And so my question for you is this: let's pretend you had a choice. You could have a $1 million check. You could walk away with this right now. I found this online. It's not a real one, but says $1 million on it, or choice of a penny a day, doubled every day for 30 days. So it means this: I'd give you a penny today. Tomorrow we double it. You get 2 cents. Next day you get 4. Next day you get 8. And we do that for 30 days. So it starts with the penny. Which one do you take? Put it in the chat. Do you go for the $1 million or the penny? Simon says penny a day, penny.
Oh, you tried to trick them, but
they're
pretty smart.
They are pretty smart. Penny. If you said the penny, turn to the person next to you, give them a high five, because that is the right choice. Now I'm going to bring up the chart again and really break down how this works. Because I love this principle of exponential growth. And so I use this illustration because I think it really illustrates this idea of how exponential growth works, right? A penny doesn't feel like much. And probably on day one, when this gets put in your hands, your heart's gonna sink a little bit because you're thinking, man, I could have grabbed that $1 million check and I could be spending this right now. Day two, again, 2 cents, 4 cents, not a whole lot. Even day 26, you know, 300,000 feels great, nothing in light of that million. But if you look down to day 30, you would see that exponential growth kick in. And so the same idea really applies with our love banks, is small deposits over time add up and lead to exponential growth.
Yeah. And we'll talk about this a lot with couples that are really in that icy relationship, right? And again, just like we do with our New Year's resolutions, where we set ourselves up to fail because we try to bite off more than we can actually chew, right? We overwhelm ourselves with all these big actions or these big things. And well, I'm going to fix my marriage by doing all the things and I'm going to do it tomorrow, right? And really, we kind of set ourselves up for something we can't maintain, right? And so we want to really look for those little penny deposits over time, because once we are doing one small thing, one connection habit, you know, when I'm reaching out for my spouse each day, when I'm doing one small thing and it feels small, but now it's a habit and now I can layer something else on top of it, right? you really get that exponential growth that kicks in. And that is change that you can manage and you can do, because when we're taking those small steps, it's kind of that idea of how do you eat an elephant?
Mm-hmm.
One bite at a time, right? And so you're going to do one small thing consistently over time, maintainable, and just wait. And like we talked about, wait, and God will do immeasurably more. You know, when we are faithful and we are consistent and we are reaching out and we are using the tools that God has given us and we are finding those times for connection, God can do so much more. And we don't have to do it all, right? And that's kind of the beauty of that, that relationship is that, you know, when we are putting in the time and we're putting in the effort, God's got that.
So I love Nolan's comments. We're just really good at math. And the idea of putting in the time, putting in the effort. We surveyed 100, it was over 100 surveys that we got back from couples. And we asked this simple question, how do you know you're in love? And I wasn't quite sure what we were going to get back. I was thinking there might be just a lot of really big kind of defining moments on there.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is there weren't. The answers we got were, we go on walks together. We spend time together. We laugh together. We enjoy being around each other. One of my favorites that came up a couple times were couples who said, you know, it's like we're so connected. We're reading each other's minds. We know what the other person's going to think. And it really was those tiny penny connections. And so here's where it all starts. This is the Love Bank Fillers mind map, and it's in that list of handouts. So I made it pretty easy. I took the notes and entitled that page zero. And then number one is the Love Bank Filler mind map. And so that's really that first thing. If you're looking for what to do, and it's just this brainstorm of how do I connect with my loved one? What acts of service can I do? What past connection wins did we have?
Mm-hmm. This might be a time too, where if you're familiar with like the five love languages, knowing some of that and putting that down, if you know your spouse's love language, if you don't know, you know what they are, look at what they like to do. The way that they show love to other people, whether they're just really, they always know exactly what that person needs and they're really good at gifting it for them and they're thoughtful in that way. Well, probably that's their love language, right? So the way that they reach out and connect with others usually gives you a really good clue for what they want. Or if they are just that person that is always on the lookout and gosh, our neighbor needs something and I'm going to head over there and help them with that, you know, that's probably acts of service. And so noticing that the way that you're trying to connect with your spouse or your loved one is the way that they receive love, right?
Absolutely. All right, so that one connection moment. And if you want to, in the chat, what penny investment will you make? What will you do? You know, there's power in community. There's power in just that accountability and telling the group, hey, this is what we're gonna do tonight. Whether it's going out for a date night, whether it's playing a game together, whether it's watching a movie together, you know, it really does start with that one penny.
Mm-hmm.
So should we dive into the next one?
Yeah. And I think as kind of a lead in for our next, you know, when we talk about thawing here in Minnesota, we know very, very well when ice starts to melt because we watch carefully for that to start to happen here at the end of winter so that we know we are coming out. We have survived the winter and it's going to warm up, right? So we know well. And what we know is that, you know, at 31 degrees, water is still ice, right? At 32 degrees, that's kind of the magic tipping point for water to start thawing. And it's incredible just the difference that 1 degree can make. And we bring that up because oftentimes what we'll see is that we start doing these penny deposits and we say, oh, that didn't work, right? And we quit. And you're right at 31 degrees, like right before you know, the thawing and the magic was about to happen, we'll stop right there. So really encouraging to stay with it and to trust God for the outcome, right? And, you know, it's kind of timely because I just had a conversation. I'm a school social worker, and so I have the privilege of kind of working with some of our students who struggle with, you know, they just struggle. They just struggle a little bit with their day sometimes. And so we were having a conversation about a student and just kind of giving some feedback to his behavior team about how to best support him. And somebody had made a comment about like, oh, this is just magic. So this is our plan for Monday and it's gonna be great. And I said, no, it's not gonna be great. Let's just be really honest. These are gonna be small, consistent actions. And by 9 o'clock on Monday, you're gonna think that everything I just told you is bogus and it's time to quit because I have no idea what I'm talking about. It's not working, right? And so really that idea that when we want to create change, we have to be consistent. We have to be ready to kind of ride out when it feels like it's not working so that we can get to that magic place of that 32 degrees when we start to notice it thawing out.
I love that. So really the encouragement is keep going. Mm-hmm. Keep building. And here's the verse that I put down for it. So there's a place in the notes for the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And really the key that I put for this one is Proverbs 19:22, which says this, what's desirable in a man is his kindness. Now I wrote this in my notes and I put in parentheses a woman just because, you know, one, I think it's applicable. Two, I remember my first date with you and just being drawn to you because just of that kind, gentle, sweet spirit. And when I see this, what's desirable in a man is his kindness, is that encouragement to keep going. Keep building one kind act upon the next. And so there's this quote from James Clear, who talks about micro habits, mini habits that we build into our lives. And he says this, complaining about not achieving success despite working hard is like complaining about an ice cube not melting when you heat it from 25 to 31 degrees. All the action happens at 32 degrees. Mm-hmm. And so with these love bank deposits, the idea is, you know, you may not see the payoff for that kindness first. And so sometimes it's that mental reframe, that being kind to your loved one, that reaching out to connect, that's a win. Mm-hmm. I can't make you connect with me. I can courageously reach out. And so for couples who are in that dying phase, the idea that, man, courageously reaching out for my loved one, that's a win. Mm-hmm. Courageously reaching out in kindness, that's a win. That's putting scripture into practice. That's turning up the heat in our relationship. That's what's going to ultimately bring us back together.
Yeah.
Well, and this is built on the research too. It's really to keep it simple. Happy couples do the type of things that happy couples do, right? And the research tells us this. Happy couples, when they're stressed, how many of you guys ever get stressed in your relationship? Hopefully I'm good. I was like, please don't let me be the only one raising my hand, right? But the research says this, when things are stressful, happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative one. Mm-hmm. When things are going well, that number goes up. It goes up to 20 positive interactions for every negative one. So the whole idea is the next step is to do the types of things that happy couples do. And happy couples consistently create those positive, engaged moments of connection. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for those of you that are here today and you feel like your relationship is in a place where it's sparking or it's red hot, white hot, you know, and you're thinking, gosh, you're talking a lot about ice today. You're right. We are. because we want to address that first and kind of move up the line. And here's the thing, though, is just like that complacency, I keep going back to your comment, that complacency, right? That we want to make sure that we are building into that love bank for those times in life, life's you. What we know is that there are ups and downs, and that it isn't always going to be, you know, easy sailing. And that when you're in that season of life where you're connected and you are thriving and things are just going so well, that is not the time to slow down, right? That is the time where you should be having even 20 positive interactions for every one negative. And so when you think about, we talk a lot about this love bank, and we didn't really slow down to explain, but just like in your bank account, you have to put deposits so that when you need to go pay for something, there's something there, right? And we think about that the same with our love bank. There has to be those deposits, those connections, those positive kind of feelings for each other, so that when conflict happens, there is a reservoir to kind of draw from, right? That I'm not feeling empty. I'm not kind of going into the red, is what we'll say, right? I'm not trying to do a negative withdrawal, but that we have a reservoir that is going to kind of carry us through those difficult moments. And when you're in that place of thriving, of deep connection, making sure that you're just making those love deposits consistently, so that you're even that much stronger, that much closer, that much better able to weather whatever life might throw at you next.
Yeah. All right. So let's dive into the action step for this one. Yeah. And this one is a little bit deeper. It's the idea of a love map. And so if you're in that icy relationship, goal is one love bank deposit. If you're moving kind of towards that thawing, a next great step is to dive into love mapping. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard this idea, I was a little bit confused, because I had the idea of a map, you know, almost telling you go to point A, then do this, then do this. But this is really talking about that mental map. And so for fun, we turned it into a quiz. And these aren't mind-blowing questions. They're questions like, who are my best friends? Could you name them?
Maybe.
But the whole idea is, you know, when we first dated, we asked all of these questions. I wanted to know everything about you. I wanted to know your favorite meal, who your best friends were, your biggest worries, your biggest stressors. We had a lot of fun dates, just walking and talking and learning about each other. Now, the problem is love maps change over time and they tend to get outdated. And so one thing, when you and I were talking, that I got excited about is I asked you, well, hey, what are your dreams? What do you want to do one day? And do you remember what you told me?
No.
Told me, Jed, I can't wait to go diving with the great white sharks. I want to get in one of those cages and go diving with the sharks. And I love that. Now, fast forward about 9 years, and we're on one of our anniversary dates. And I'm thinking, you don't still want to go diving with the sharks, do you? I mean, we've got 4 kids now. We've got a house. But I thought, you know, I'm going to ask. And do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I want to go.
I thought, yes. And so that's the deal with love maps is, one, they can get outdated and we have to update them. Or like me, you can think the answer's changed and it hasn't. Mm-hmm. And so the whole idea is, hey, how do we get that mental image of our loved one back?
I think also just that intentional connection, right? It's fun to learn about each other. That is such a fun connection time. I think for us, when we are dating, and especially while we were engaged and kind of in that season of planning your life together, and you're curious about each other and you're asking all these questions, and we had just a great time kind of going through question books, and we might be a little nerdy that way, but we must have bought 3, 4, 5 of them. Just went through asking each other questions and learning more about each other. And what do we want our life to look like when we're all grown up? And those kind of questions. And that is such a fun season. And then somewhere along the road, you know, 4 kids later, and we're tag teaming as far as parenting and juggling jobs and doing all of these things, that we were forgetting to ask each other those questions, right? That we weren't seeking connection in that way. We didn't what was the quote we just saw recently? He's better at remembering things than I am. But we saw something recently that was like, your spouse is your best friend.
Oh, be kind to your best friend. Nice. Yeah.
And I would take that even a little bit further, but like, my best friend, I spent a lot of time talking to her and getting to know her, and not about my kids' schedules or who's going to pick up who from what sport and managing our schedule. That's not the kind of things that we talk about. But sometimes me and you get into life and we get busy, and that's what we hear from so many couples, and our discussions turn into our schedule. Right? And who's going to do what with the kids, and who's going to pick them up, and all of those kind of things. And we forget to connect for the sake of connection. And so being purposeful, being intentional about learning more about each other, about what has changed, what stayed the same, and how can we connect through that conversation.
I love that. And it is so true, because that was another question that we did ask couples in our survey is, hey, what is that number one barrier to love in your relationship? And over again, couples did say busyness. We're busy. We rush from one thing to the next, to the next. And it really is a lot of times that growth is just remembering, hey, we got married for a reason. You know, we love each other, but we like each other too. Yeah. We want to be together and we want to spend time together, because that's what best friends do. Mm-hmm. And so with the Love Map quiz, sometimes I have couples ask me, well, hey, am I doing it right? And really, the only thing is, man, if you're having fun, if you're laughing together, if you're learning together, then you're absolutely doing it right.
If you're filling it out by yourself, maybe check that. Laugh, have fun, connect together. That's the purpose of the quiz.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to pause here with one caveat. If you're looking at that Love Map quiz and you're thinking, I really do know this, we've got updated love maps. Mm-hmm. Do want to give kind of the next homework assignment? Can we give the sneak peek?
Sure.
Because you had talked about just doing the conversation starters. And that's what we have for number three, is really our top 10 connecting conversation starters for couples, where couples have said, man, we had a lot of fun, learned mm-hmm. a lot about each other with these questions. And so, you know, really, I know for me with this conference, I wanted it to be more than just a lot of good information. Mm-hmm. You know, we're God designed to connect. We're God designed for relationships. We're made for that, but it's not enough to come and learn up here like, oh yeah, we're supposed to connect. You know, it's got to go from here to here. And I think you and I both just get excited when we see couples do that. And so I would say, if you can, between now and tomorrow night, pick one thing. Are you going to do one love bank filler? Are you going to do the love map exercise? Or are you going to do the conversation starters? And don't have to do all 10. If you go through five and just get engaged again in the conversation and you're having fun, you're absolutely doing it right. But right now, pick one. Which one's going to move the needle the most for you? Would you put that in the chat?
I love the dishes, dishes, dishes. That's the connection.
Yeah, someone's saying yes.
Good job.
Love map tonight. Love it. Map, awesome. Yeah, that love map can be powerful.
It's a good one.
All right.
Very good.
Guys, can I close this out in prayer? And then Simon, I'm going to turn it over for you and we can hang out for questions or discussions. But let me pray for us. Father, thank you for tonight and just for the privilege of getting to be here with some amazing couples, couples who love you. Father, there's a lot of reasons to have a good marriage. There's a lot of reasons to grow. We know that you designed us to connect even more so, Father. We know that you have big plans for us. And would you be with us? Would you be with every couple here and draw them closer together? In the light of eternity, this matters. Father, we love you. Amen.